Thanks for checking out the Root Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
You have your Bibles. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we're actually going to put the scripture on the screen for you as well so you can follow along with us. Are you okay if I take us to a couple of chunks of scripture? Are you okay with that? So we're going to kind of dig into the Bible here today. I know you guys are used to doing that every week. Matthew chapter 15 is where we're going to begin. Beginning in verse 21, it says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.' Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, 'Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' The woman came and knelt before him. 'Lord, help me,' she said. He replied, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.' 'Yes, it is, Lord,' she said. 'Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed at that moment." Same story from another gospel writer's perspective, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, we're going to pick it up in verse number 24. Mark 7, 24. "Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. 'First, let the children eat all they want,' he told her, 'for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs.' 'Lord,' she replied, 'even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' Then he told her, 'For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter.' She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone." Let me just tell you from the very jump, I really, really like this lady, okay? I like her a lot. Now, my wife's my favorite woman in my world, hands down, no doubt about that. She's number one. My daughter, she's trying to get up there, take that number one spot, but I'm not gonna let her, okay? Because my daughter will leave one day, and I'm still gonna be with my wife. So wife is number one, hands down, okay? So I got my wife, I got my daughter, I got my mom, right? Come on, Phyllis. I love my mom, okay? My mom raised me all by herself, whooped my behind, got me to the place that I am right now. So my mom taught me how to even love my wife. So I'm thankful for my mom. But after those three ladies, this woman right here, she might be my fourth favorite. I like her, okay? I like her fire. I like her tenacity. I like her energy. I like her perspective. I like that she doesn't take no for an answer. I like that when this woman is faced with an obstacle, she rises to the occasion and pushes right through it. I like that this woman has an edge. I like that this woman says, if God is able to do it, then I'm going to trust him to do it, even if everybody else is trying to quiet me down. I like that this woman says, I'm going forward, even if everybody else is telling me to stop. I like her. Okay, I like her. I'm praying after we're done here today, her life will inspire your life like it's inspired mine. Because here's the thing, whenever you and I come to scripture, I don't want us just to read it. I want us also to listen to it. The Bible's the word of God. It means God is speaking to us. It's not just black letters on a white page. This is actually the living word of God, alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to get into the parts of your life and my life that we might not want anybody to get into, but the word of God has a way of wiggling its way in there to shape you and I into the man and woman that he's called us to be. That's why your pastors are preaching the word of God every week, so you can hear the word and respond respond to it. So I don't want you just to take the Bible and impose your will on it. This is what you and I do when we pick up most books. When you read a book, you decide when you're going to pick it up. You decide when you're going to put it down. You decide when you're going to close it. But whenever you're having a conversation with someone, if you turn around and walk the other direction in the middle of them talking, that's considered rude. I would like for us, when we come to Scripture, come to the Bible, to have a little bit of a mindset that we're entering into a conversation with God, that the God of the universe is actually trying to talk to you. He's trying to find out about your day. You're trying to find out more about who he is and his plans and purposes for your life. So as I'm reading through this passage of Scripture, I'm listening. And this woman's life is just shouting at me. It's just shouting, it's shouting, it's shouting. And I'm so, so encouraged. You see, I'll give you one more verse, okay? One more verse and we'll be done with verses. Mark chapter 3, verse number 8. We'll put it up on the screen for you as well. In Mark chapter 3, verse number 8, we discover that Jesus' fame about him is making its way all throughout the region, and it makes its way to Tyre and Sidon as well. Where this woman lives, fame about Jesus has made its way. Why does that even matter? Because Tyre and Sidon, they are the Gentile sides of town. This is not Jewish territory, if you will. This is the other side of the tracks. This is for individuals who are on the out, if you will, not for folks that are on the in. This is where people live there who are battling and struggling and fighting through things, if you will. And word makes its way all the way to this woman that there is a guy that is touching people. There's a guy that's healing people. There's a guy that's putting broken things back together. There's a man that is speaking the word and things are changing and happening. And she hears about this. And she says, I'm going to hold on to this man. If he ever comes to my neighborhood, if he ever shows up in my side of town, if that man that heals and restores and makes things new, if that man that can put broken things back together shows up in my neighborhood, I'm going to grab a hold to his leg and I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me. Because this woman has pain, okay? She's pain. She has kid pain. And there's no pain quite like kid pain. Now, I recognize, Boo, we're a young church, right? Just 2.5 years old. And God has been, what God has done has been absolutely amazing. It's absolutely phenomenal what God has done in 2.5 years. So you're a baby. You're a big baby, but you're a baby. You're like one of those babies that you look at, you're like, oh my goodness. That baby's 2? What? That baby needs a job immediately. You're like one of those babies, just extra fat, lots of stuff all around. You're like baby W, right? You're a big baby. But a baby nonetheless. And most times, when church plants get started, this is the same in our church. You have lots of young people that get connected, lots of single people, lots of young married couples. And you don't have a ton of folks with kids right away because, you know, you're meeting in a school and people are like, I don't want to bring my kid there to meet in the children's area. So you got all these things you have to work through. So you don't have a ton of folks. But let me just tell you this real, real quick. Those of you in VU who have gray hair, we've been praying for you. We have been asking for you to show up here because we need some people that have lived some life. If you have a comb over, we want you, all right? You tell your parents and your grandparents there is a spot here. We'll give them earplugs when they walk in, but we need their maturity. We need their energy. We need their wisdom. We're asking for those folks to be a part of this church. Now, because we might not have a ton of folks with kids here, maybe all of us in here don't quite understand this pain, but the reality is whenever you have a child, you feel what your child is walking through. I remember when we had our firstborn, when Parker first came into the world, and he was going to get his first shots, and I don't know where you are on the whole immunization thing, but hey, we did it, okay? So we brought him to the doctor, and my wife was like, oh my God, no way, I cannot watch this. So she leaves the room, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch it either. I leave the room. kidding. I stayed in there with Parker. I held him so close. He's screaming. And I just wanted to take away all the pain. Because that's what you feel as a parent. This woman here, she's got a daughter. And she's feeling her daughter's pain. Okay, now maybe you don't have a daughter, but you still know pain. Because if you live for any period of time on this earth, somehow, some way, some pain has made its way into your life. And maybe right now you look so good on the outside. And we have that in Miami. We have people that look good on the outside, but still pain on the inside. And here is this woman, and she's battling some pain. Not just a daughter that had a little shot, but a daughter that maybe is having cancer, or a daughter that's battling depression, or a daughter that's in rehab again, and a child. A mom or dad will spend everything they possibly can to get that child out of that hole, and you'll stay at the hospital night after night after night after night. And this woman here is in a desperate situation, and she does not run from Jesus. What this woman does in the midst of her desperation is she runs to Jesus, because that's the place. That's the place you and I ought to run in desperation. So now she finds out Jesus is in the neighborhood, and she shows up. Jesus, Son of David, help me. The Son of David is like an announcement. You're the Messiah. An announcement that I believe you are who you say you are. It's an announcement that you have the power that I think you have. Jesus, Son of David, I need your help. I need your help. And the disciples say, let me put it in today's vernacular. The church people, the ones that are supposed to be making a way for her to meet Jesus, are the very ones blocking her from meeting Jesus. Here is a woman that is in a pit. Here is a woman that's at a loss. Here is a woman that is fighting battles, and she gets up the courage and the umph to go and find Jesus. And when she gets there, she finds church people that are pushing her away and sending her back. I just want to be glad and thankful that you're a part of a church that does not push people away. I am so thankful that VU is a place that says, if you're lost, if you're hurting, if you're broken, if you don't know which way is up, if you found yourself in the bottom of a pit, I'll lay down my life for you. I'll show up early. I'll stay late. I'll load in. I'll load out. I'll watch kids tell me what I need to do, but I will lay my life down so I can be a bridge for you. I'm so glad you're a part of a church like that. I'm so glad you're not like the disciples were in this one. Here they are telling the lady, shh, go away, go away. But this woman, she doesn't even care. I like her. She seems sweet, but also seems like she might have a knife on her as well. Like, if you mess with her enough, she might. Don't make me. Like she could take off her hoop earrings at any point in time and just be ready. Just be ready to get down. I pray that I would be this type of follower of Jesus. I don't want to be a soft follower of Jesus. I don't want to be somebody that's faced with an obstacle and I turn my head and I run the other direction. I want to be like this woman. I want to take the opposition and say, bring it, bring it, bring it. But I'm not turning around. I'm not putting my head down. I will keep moving forward because Jesus has something that I need. He has the power. He has the grace. He has the strength. He has the mercy. He has the hope that I need. So I'm not going to be turned. I'm not going to be turned. So she just pushes right through it. I like her, guys. I just like her. So now here's this woman, and she finally gets to Jesus. And when you get there, you think the story is going to be great. It's not. I've had a hard time with this discourse here. I've had a hard time with what Jesus says to this woman, okay? The woman's crying out, and Jesus says, I'm sorry. Kids got to eat. You can't take what the kids are eating and give it to the dogs. Well, in this metaphor, somebody's the kids and somebody's the dog. And this woman is sharp enough to understand which is which. But she says, I hear you. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the kids' table. Okay, fellas, you ever take a girl out on a date? Hopefully you have. And take her on first date. Okay, first date. And you're like, hey, I'm going to take care of this girl. You know, I met her on Instagram, and she has a friend. I met her. Okay, so I'm taking her out tonight, and I'm doing it up big. We're going to Morton Steakhouse. Matter of fact, I don't even have that kind of money. I'm going to Chili's tonight with this girl. Baby back ribs for everybody. So you come, and you're there. You're at the restaurant. You fellas, you order your food, right? You're like, okay, let me get steak. Let me get some mashed potatoes. Yeah, you're gonna get full. And then the young lady says, "I'll just have a salad. Just a salad." You're like, no, it's on me. It's on me. This is Chili's. This is on me. $8.99. Get what you want to get. This is on me. No. I ate a late lunch, and I just need a salad, Caesar salad dressing on the side. And you know. But once you leave that date, ladies, and you call your girlfriend, you're like, girl, let's go out right now. I need a burger. I need fries. I need two shakes. I'm hungry. Because you don't want to be scarfing down all this food. You don't want to eat more than the guy on the first date. Some of you are like, oh, that's what happened with that last guy that I was with. Well, this woman, she says, all I need is a crumb. But she's being serious. She thinks, all I need is a little piece of the power of Jesus to change my whole life. She comes to Christ and she's saying, Jesus, I recognize the dog and I get the kid thing and I get the food. I'm not asking for everything. All I need from you, Jesus, all I need from you right now with the situation that I'm dealing with, and I know my daughter has been suffering terribly, and I know my situation looks bleak, and I know I've had this problem for years, and I know I've been battling this for decades, and I know this has been a generational curse in my family, and I know I've been at my wit's end, but since I'm in front of you, I don't even need all your power. All I need from you right now is just, if you'll give me just a little crumb, if you'll give me just a piece of your power, I don't need all your power. All I need is just a crumb from the throne of God, and a crumb will be enough to take my whole broken situation and make it whole again. It's enough to take me from darkness to light. It's enough to take me from lost to found. It's enough. All I need is a crumb. You guys are making me preach harder than I want to preach right now. Okay, you're making me preach harder. I need a stool up here immediately. I need to sit down. Kidding. This woman's messing with me. She's messing with me. Do I have this kind of faith? Like, do I have the crumb kind of faith? Do I have the type of faith that's just like, oh, Bring it in. Come on, bring it. Get it close to you. I can't even put my fingers small enough for a crumb. Jesus said like this, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, like you don't even have to know all the scriptures. You don't need to have been in church for decades upon decades. You don't need to go to Bible school in order to have this connection with God. All you need is just this little bit of faith. What Jesus did is he leveled the playing field for all of us. If you have your PhD, you can find your way to Jesus. And if you have your GED, you can find your way to Jesus as well. If you have a Benz, you can find your way to Jesus. And if your car is broken down on the side of the road, you can find your way to Jesus as well. Because all it takes is just a sliver of faith and a sliver of his power to meet every single need in your life and mine. This, it's a little bit crazy and audacious, but this woman, who taught her this? Who taught her this? I was wondering, when I read this story, I saw the woman as a beggar, okay? Because the Bible says she came and she was begging in front of Jesus. So I saw her as a beggar. But I wonder, what if she wasn't a beggar? What if she was a businesswoman? What if she was used to being in boardrooms? Having individuals, men and women alike, size her up and tell her one thing to try to silence her. So she's just used to this. She's used to it. She's used to it. So she steps into this moment like, oh, I've been here. I've been there, done that. Disciples, I'll take your shushing. I'll move right past that. I'm fine. I'll move right past that. I'm wondering, like, what did she go through in her life that would give her this type of power and confidence and strength? We read it. We might think Jesus is being a little bit offensive, okay? I get that. But really, I think Jesus is like Jedi mind tricking her. He just, what he's doing is he's giving her a crumb. And the crumb comes in the form of an obstacle. But it's not a closed door. It's actually a clue. He's saying, hey, I'm gonna put this here. Don't run. Because if you follow this crumb, I'm gonna set down another one, and I'm actually going to pull out of you what I put in you in the first place. So if you don't turn and run right now from this barrier, I'm actually going to show you who I destined you to be from the very beginning, and your story. Your story is actually going to impact people in Miami 2,000 years later, and they'll look at you, lady, and they'll say, I too will have an obstacle, but I won't stop. I'll push through that one. If I get another one, I'll push through that one, and I'm going to keep on trusting and keep on holding and keep on believing and keep on crying out. He knew all that he put on the inside of her. Do you know your God knows all that he put on the inside of you? And you and I are here getting discouraged with the obstacles. And I get discouragement and I get tears. But I'm saying, Vu Church, it's time for us, even in the midst of tears, in the midst of pain, in the midst of problems, in the midst of the obstacle, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to believe in you. Maybe what you're going through right now is just a clue. Not to turn and run. But you to keep on pressing in. You keep going in your Vu crew. Keep serving. Keep giving. Keep trusting. He's trying to take you somewhere. It's not a closed door. It's actually an open door. It's an open door. It looks closed, but it's not really closed. It's actually open. He put this here on purpose for the woman. I'm so glad she was smart enough to catch it. She says, when she cries out to Jesus, Jesus then says to her, first, let the children eat. First, they got to eat. Now, again, this woman, I like her. If Jesus hadn't said anything, maybe she wouldn't have anything to go on. Or she knew he was a Messiah, but maybe she wouldn't have anything to go on. But since Jesus said first, this woman hears it and goes, since there's a first, must be a second. Probably a third, a fourth, and a fifth. So she says, I'll get in line. Go ahead and let the children eat, Jesus. And I'll come all the way back over here. And I'll wait for my turn. And he can have his wife, and she can have her husband, and they can get their business off the ground. But every time they get their blessing, I keep moving up one step at a time. Let them have what they've been praying for. She can have her miracle. They can have their baby. She can get into that school. I'll just keep moving. I am willing, because I'm so desperate, I'm willing to wait as long as I need to wait to get what you have for me, Jesus. So she lets everybody else get what they need to get and has the willingness to keep moving up the line. I like her. I just like her. Okay. You got, all right, my last story. I'm all done. Okay, my last story. I'll be finished. I'm finished in the next 35 minutes. I'm finished. Kidding. I'm on my way, okay? I'm on my way somewhere. I can't remember where. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going somewhere, okay? And I've got my bag, and I'm on my way to the airport. This is before I had TSA PreCheck. Because you and I both know TSA PreCheck is like Jesus at the airport. That's what that is. I actually now judge people who take their shoes off at the airport. Whatever, basic. So I just keep... I don't really judge them. I get through security. I show up at the gate. At the gate, in the breezeway there, you know, headed to the airplane. It's packed all the way to where you give the flight attendant your boarding pass. And I give her my boarding pass, and she's like, "Okay, yeah, you made it." I'm like, "Yes, thank you, I made it." But she says, "Sir, I'm so sorry. Your bag's not making it on." There's two bad things to hear. One, the plane's going down. And two, you can't bring your carry-on onto the plane. So I'm like, "Ma'am, I'm showing the pictures of my daughter. I'm doing everything I possibly do. Look at, oh, she's so beautiful. What do you think? Let me tell you the story." I didn't do that. But in my head, I'm thinking, just give me a chance, ma'am, please. I do not want to wait at a carousel for my bag. It's just a quick trip. "No, sir, I'm sorry." So I go into the breezeway and I grab my bag, and I'm trying to do it like a Christ-like person would do it. And I'm opening my bag, though. I got people are looking, 50 people in the breezeway. I'm looking at them. They're looking at my drawers in the bag because I'm pulling out my Bible, pulling out my headphones. And then the lady comes around the corner and she says, "Sir, do I know you?" Well, that depends who's asking the question. And she says, "Are you a pastor?" And it looks like it's a positive, so I'm like, "Yeah, I'm T.D. Jakes, and I'm just trying to get ready to go on this plane right here. I'm going to bless the people with the word of God." I didn't say that. She goes, "Wait, what's the name of your church?" I said, "Shoreline City." She goes, my son goes to your church, and he, thank you. Close up your bag. Okay, I'll go. close my bag up. She takes it from me. 50 people. She takes my bag, brings it all the way past the 50 people, puts it on the plane. I get in the back of the line. I'm like, yes, my bag made it on. Plane's not leaving without me. I'm just so happy. She gets to the plane, turns around, sees and I'm not with her, goes, Pastor. I now have to walk past all these people whose bags did not get on the plane. I don't want to do it. I don't want. She told me to come. But I thought this is a perfect picture of the grace of God in her life. I was just happy to be on the plane, but the grace of God had the audacity to take me from the back and take me past person after person, situation after situation, obstacle after obstacle, and say, hey, put your behind on the plane. VU Church, let's worship.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.